Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 97 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling, What? Me Retire? Lessons on Life After Farming. I'm planning to make episodes on retirement a recurring theme of this podcast, because who better to lead farmers toward that goal than farmers who have gone before them? In this, my first episode on the subject of retirement, I talked to Jim Walesby, who farmed near Elmira, and Randy Cease, who farmed outside of Colfax. I know both men through my association with the Washington Grain Commission. Walesby was on the Wheat Commission from 1990 to 95 and chairman for the last 2 years. I was a reporter for the Capital Press at the time and talked to him about issues of the day on a regular basis. Unlike some people who felt my questions involved a personal grudge, Walesby understood that I was only doing my job. I can't recall him being anything but friendly to me while providing cogent explanations of whatever was the issue of the day. He retired from farming 8 years ago, but as you'll hear ahead, he was getting his ducks in a row long before that. Randy Cease and I also have a long history. He was very involved with the Washington Association of Wheat Growers Public Information Committee in the 1990s and early 2000s, working tirelessly to promote farmers and wheat. In 2006, he was elected to the Wheat Commission Board. He retired from both farming and the commission in 2016. Although Randy has a degree in teaching and was superintendent of a rural district before he went back to the farm, he's a born public relations man. If you haven't seen him in a while, he approaches you with a hand that swings in to connect solidly with yours, a smile of pure delight on his face. You can't help but smile back. Now, Cease isn't always smiling. I've certainly seen him upset. But as a general rule, he served as a wonderful portrayal of a wheat farmer while he was one. Thinking about which interview I should lead off with, I reverted to the age before beauty proviso. Walesby is 72 and lives in a beautiful home on Spokane's South Hill with his wife. I visited him on an Indian summer day, October 19, 2018. I started by asking Walesby what year he retired, but when you're a farmer, it's not as easy as just shutting the doors and turning out the lights. He actively planned his retirement for several years, but, one could argue, it was never far from his mind.
Well, I took my last crop off in 2010, and actually, that was, you might say, the accumulation of about 3 to 4 years of groundwork. I realized real quick it's a lot harder to get out of farming than it was to get into it. So you just can't say one day, okay, I'm going to retire, cut my last crop, and I'm out of here, because it takes a lot of planning. You know, I farmed out there for over 30 years. I'm the fourth generation on that place. My great-grandparents, my grandparents, and my parents all farmed there. So there was 100 years worth of not only history, but capital involved as well. So you can't just walk away from that without just getting killed in taxes. So it did take quite a bit of planning to put that whole thing together. A lot of guys will say, well, gee, you know, the day I turn 65, I'm out of there. And that wasn't me. I really enjoyed farming, and it never felt like work. And so I really never, in the back of my mind, thought, well, on such and such a day, that's going to be it. I'm out of here. But as time progressed and you get older and you don't have quite the energy you used to have, and farming got complex. A lot of regulation. I spent as much time shuffling paperwork as I actually did farming. And one day I thought, you know, this isn't as much fun as it used to be. Maybe I should think about making a switch. And in the interim, we had bought a home in Spokane, and we're living up here, and I would commute back and forth on the weekends from the farm up here. Of course, spent the winters up here. And so I guess maybe my wife was a little smarter than I was when she talked me into buying a home in Spokane, because it kind of led me to think in terms of retiring, and that was kind of what I finally did.
And what's happened to the land?
I leased the land out. Maybe I should back up just a little bit. When you start thinking about retirement, there are a lot of factors to weigh. And I think the first one that everybody weighs prior to retiring, whether you're a farmer or not, is, gee, you know, what's the future going to hold? Do I have enough money? What's health care going to look like? Is Social Security and Medicare going to survive? And those are big issues. And so you wrestle with that, and you work with your accountant and your financial advisor and your attorney, and pretty soon they said, yeah, don't worry about it. You're in good shape. The next issue was really, as I mentioned, I was a fourth-generation farmer, and it looked like if I walked away from that farm, I was going to be the last family member to farm that ground. And I really, that could have been the biggest issue I wrestled with. At the time I was contemplating retirement, I had a 15-year-old grandson. And I don't know if he would have been interested in farming or not, but had I stayed long enough for him to make that decision, that would have been another 8 years. And I thought, you know, I just don't think I want to do that. I'm not young by any means, but I've got my health and I've got other interests. And so I made the decision to go ahead and retire. And so then, yeah, once you make the decision, things just kind of fell in place. And it's probably the best thing I ever did.
But that decision about ending that family lineage of more than 100 years, that must have been really tough.
It was tough. You know, and I think we've all seen a lot of farmers that just can't give it up. And they'll stay out there and they're crippled and they can't hardly get in on and off the equipment. And they finally just sort of keel over in the field, you might say. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to do that. We had been going to the Palm Springs area for, gosh, 6-8 years, renting a condo down there for the months of February and March. And I would go down in February, and then my mother-in-law would come down and stay with my wife, and I'd go back in April and drive back home. And that worked out great. So I kind of had a taste of a different life, and I liked it. You know, I don't mind winter, I don't mind snow, and I don't mind cold, but I just don't like the gray days and the freezing fog, and that's what really kind of got to me. And when you get up every morning and the sun's shining and this blue sky, it does a lot for your attitude.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, here in the fall, and we have these sunny days, and I know that they're not going to continue, but for right now, it's really wonderful.
Yeah. You know, another big decision I had to face was, okay, I wasn't going to sell that ground. It's been in my family forever, and I'm going to keep it. So who's going to farm it? And you kind of look around, and number one, you want to find somebody who's going to be as anal about that farm as I was and do as good a job. And so that, you know, I hate to say this because I got a lot of good friends and neighbors down there, but that kind of eliminates a lot of people fairly quickly. And then the other aspect is it's a big financial contribution by whoever takes it over. You want to make sure that you lease it out to somebody who's stable enough that in 10 years' time, you don't get back a bunch of worn-out equipment and have to go back into farming again. And that eliminates a lot of people. So I just, as it worked out, I just got a great a tenant. Our ground borders each other. In fact, Ryan Poe is involved in that farm, and he's now getting involved in the wheat growers, which makes me extremely happy. So it's just worked out great.
So it really wasn't about financial considerations when you retired. It was really just about the fact that you decided it was time.
Yeah, you know, I was just, I guess maybe I was just kind of getting tired. I wasn't having as much fun as I used to. And so I thought, well, maybe I don't need to be doing this any longer.
How are you financing your retirement? Is it investments that you made during the years that you were farming? Is it living off the lease of the farm? Crop share payments, something else?
All of the above. Of course, I get a crop share. And here again, I have to commend my father for putting things together right. He incorporated our farm in, gosh, I think about 1972, and under a C-Corp, and established a profit sharing and pension plan, which we contributed to every year. And you just kind of make that contribution, put it away, and then one of these days you look at it and think, wow, there's a lot of money in there. And so that's what we did, and it's worked out very well.
Wonderful, wonderful. So what's the best thing about being retired?
Well, I would say maybe the best thing is you don't have the stress anymore. or you don't wake up in the middle of the night when it's 30 below zero and the wind's blowing, you think, oh boy, is our crop gone? I think the other thing is the freedom to do a lot of things. You know, I think everybody's got a bucket list, just things they think, well, I'm going to do that when I get around to it. And when you're working, you just never quite get around to it. So now you have the opportunity to do a lot of those things. We did buy a condo in Southern California when I retired. So we spent 6 months down there, which is great. And it's just really worked out well.
What's the worst thing about being retired?
I don't know if I can really say there's anything bad about it. You know, and another decision that's hard to make when you're contemplating retirement, or I shouldn't say hard to make, but what kind of weighs on your mind is, gee, you know, what am I going to do with all my free time? And boy, that hasn't been an issue. Everybody says, what do you do? And I think back and think, well, what have I done? But one day just kind of goes into the next, and I'm having a good time. And, you know, and I realized when I quit working that I got to keep moving. So I go to the gym about 4 times a week and try to do that. And I walk every morning and just try to keep active.
What has surprised you about being retired?
Oh, I don't know if there's really been any surprises. It's kind of funny. You get together with your friends and, you know, the guys I play golf with and the friends we've made in California. And now you sit down to have a cup of coffee and the conversation invariably gets to, well, what medications are you taking today? Or when are you going to get your hip replaced? You know, we used to talk about, well, who's got the best sports car?
Yes. That's it. That is interesting. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you miss farming?
You know, I really don't. And I thought I would, but I really don't miss the day-to-day activities. You know, I go down to the farm about once a month just to kind of hang around and visit with the guys and see what's going on. You know, and the changes just in the 8 years I have been out of it are just phenomenal. Just absolutely mind-boggling.
Did you have GPS-assisted equipment?
We did have AutoSteer, GPS AutoSteer. But now, gosh, the data mapping they're doing and that kind of stuff and the sprayers that turn themselves on and off and that kind of stuff. I don't think I'd even be smart enough to get on a combine and know how to set the GPS up to make the thing run.
So no regrets about retiring when you did?
No. I kind of timed it so I could go on Medicare before I terminated my farm medical policy.
Do you stay in touch with people from your farming days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and I still got a private applicator's license. I gave up my commercial license, so I have to get recertification credits every year. So I go out to the Lynn Field Day, or I'll go to the local fertilizer dealer's customer appreciation days whenever I can to get recertification credits. And that's always fun because you see everybody.
And why do you need your spray license?
That's a good question. I think I just don't want to give it up.
Anything else that you want to add here?
Farming has an inherent risk, and you know you're going to have the bad years that they're just, you know, they're going to come. And so when you have the good years, you know, sock some money away for that rainy day fund, because you know the bad ones are coming. And that's easier to say than it is to do.
Planning for the future is important, and it's not a lot of fun. But it is a requirement for farmers who are involved in a business that involves land and legacy. I spoke with Randy Cease, who's 65, on October 12, 2018, at the home he has moved to in a new subdivision with a Cheney address. As I drove to his house through the activity of new construction, I wondered how a farmer dealt with living in such close proximity to other people after a history of being a long way from his neighbors. I was pleasantly surprised by the fact his house is at the end of a street that abuts the fairways of a golf course and an expansive view of what passes for open country. His house is beautiful and tight. No curtains moving when the wind blows here. After getting a tour of the place and seeing some of the artwork he brought back from trips as part of his U.S. Wheat Associates career, we settled down to talk at his dining room table. I asked him how long he knew he was going to retire before pulling the trigger.
Probably about 2 years. You know, I'm probably different than most farmers where I'd battled this leg problem for a couple years, and so started thinking about it then, you know, what am I going to do? Because my original plans wasn't to retire when I did. I thought I'd be like every other farmer, you know, at least work till I was 70 years old. My dad even worked longer than that, but I thought that was going to be the case for me also, that I'd just keep working, because I really enjoyed the farming side of things.
And what specifically was wrong with your leg?
Oh, I battled problem with my knee, and then my foot would swell, and played musical doctors for a couple of years, and they could never figure out what was causing it. And it was really caused by just the long hours of sitting for some reason. Long as I stood and walked around, I was fine, but the long hours, you know, tractor combine, sitting, I just couldn't take it anymore. I got to the point where I could hardly get up into the tractor anymore.
Now that you're retired, aren't you sitting a lot?
No, I'm not. I'm staying pretty busy, and I can always get up. I don't have to be glued to that chair.
All right. Randy, were there financial considerations involved in your retiring, or was it health completely, or was it just simply time?
It was health completely. Yeah, it wasn't the financial side of things, and I just really needed to do something, you know, and if I could have, I probably would have got a job somewhere else, but I didn't really see something that I was really interested that came along that I could move into.
How are you financing your retirement?
Well, we sold our house down there in 5 acres of land, and then part of what was in the corporation, that it went into a crop share, and then Lori and I own some land ourselves, and that went into a cash rent. So we're still getting the income, you know, off of the farm. And we'd made some good investments, and so and I think the sale of our house was a big thing to also.
So over your, how many years, 40, 50 years of farming, you also invested every year?
Sure. I mean, Lori and I were pretty frugal when it came to financing things, and, you know, we were able to pay for our kids' way through college at a time when we probably really weren't making very many dollars, and so I think that all points to how conservative we were when it came to holding on to those dollars.
Well, it looks from this house that you have that turned out very well for you.
I think it did. We're pretty fortunate to find this place, and of course, everything around here has all gone up in value since we bought this. I think we got in here just at the right time.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, what's the best thing about being retired?
The best thing is I don't have to be sitting on that tractor for so long. That's probably the best thing. It really opened up the door for me to do some other things and keep up the volunteer efforts that I had done for so long and loved, and getting to meet new people, especially out here. You know, we weren't from around here. Lori's a Cheney gal, but we didn't really know that many people around this area, so some of the volunteer efforts I've done now is getting me reacquainted with this community.
And tell me about those efforts.
Sure. The first one I got onto was they just opened up a credit union board over here, and I'm on their board. And then I just got on the Inland Power and Light board, and just was selected in a position that was open. And then Lori and I also volunteer out at the Spokane Airport and the Visit Spokane booth. It's the information booth when people are walking down to get their bags, and we volunteer over there, and they come by and ask us a million different kinds of questions. It's really kind of interesting, though. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine you're a good person to do that. You're very, what's the word? You're very welcoming. So what's the worst thing about being retired?
The worst thing is probably just the local connections and visiting with people. And, of course, part of that was because of moving. But, you know, when you'd go to town, you'd see people at the bank and the gas station, the grocery store, and you could have conversations with them. You can always visit with a farmer about how the crop was doing or how much rainfall they got. And that's been the thing that I probably miss the most. But a lot of that had to do with us moving here more than anything else. You just don't have those farmer connections. That's why I still like going over to the WOG board meetings and still keeping involved. I still drive down to our county wheat grower meetings and to see those people and see how things are going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you ever consider moving within Colfax?
We did. We did. That was one of the ideas that we had. But I guess the driving force was that our kids live up here. Lori's sister lives up here. My sisters are relatively close to up here, and Lori's folks are still alive. They live up in Spokane. So that was kind of the driving force, moving up here, being closer to family.
What has surprised you about being retired?
Oh, probably. I thought I was going to be, you know, not very busy, but it seems like there's always something going on every single day that to keep me busy. And if I'm not one of these volunteer efforts and I'm out working in my shop or I'm working in the garden, it's pretty nice that I was able to have a place out here to have a nice garden.
Do you have any advice for farmers that are thinking of retiring?
Yeah, I think I would. You know, make sure that it's the right thing for you and that you actually have hobbies or something. You know, there's been a lot of farmers that just retire and really have nothing to do and pretty much sit and waste away. And make sure you've got something on that future plan. What can you do, whether it's volunteer efforts or, like me, woodworking and to keep busy. I think you still got to keep busy no matter whether you're farming or not.
In your previous answer, you indicated that you really don't miss farming. Is that right?
Not so much. You know, I think the reason why I don't miss it is that the people I selected to farm my land, I have complete trust in them. I was the one that wanted them. I saw how they farmed. They farm like I did. They take care of the land. They're good people, and that's something that was very important to me. And I think that's why I sleep well at night, knowing they're taking care of the place. I don't have to be down there constantly worrying that something isn't going quite right. And I still go down and I ride the combine with them during harvest, and I try to make a stop during the springtime of the year to see how things are going down there. But other than that, I pretty much let them do their own thing.
Randy, there's many farmers who retire and they become snowbirds and they go down to Arizona or Florida perhaps in October and they don't come back until April or May. What about you? Is that in your future?
We really don't have any big plans to do anything like that. You know, we've got to see quite a bit of the world, and yet we've realized we haven't seen a lot of our country. And just like this year, we went down to the Redwoods and toured there and came back up through Crater Lake. And if anything, my eventual goal, I'd like to make a tour around the farm country and see my friends in North and South Dakota and on down through Nebraska and Kansas, and also make a trip down to Arizona, California, see the people that I've met when I was on the U.S. Wheat Board. That would really be something I would really enjoy doing. But no desires to be the snowbird. You know, we seems like we always manage to get over to Hawaii in the wintertime just for 10 days. And that's kind of the extent, I think, of what we would do in the wintertime.
Do you stay in touch with people from your farming days?
I do. And that's why I still go down to our county wheat grower meetings. And those guys are down there and get to see them and visit with them. But I think probably one of the sad things is, and this is a commentary on everything, that it's the same old farmers that are there at those meetings all the time, and it's really tough to get the young farmers involved in the association and volunteering. And I don't know what we're going to be doing in the future because of that.
It's robots, perhaps. So I understand that you've taken up golf.
I have taken up golf. And, you know, we've lived here just a little over a year and a half now. And last year, of course, we were pretty much moving in and getting everything settled and getting my shop set up. And so my wife finally said, you know, you really just need to go try it. So I went out and bought an inexpensive set of clubs and I took some lessons, and it's really pretty fun. It's quite a challenging game, but you know, you can't take it seriously. And the lucky thing about us is we live on a golf course that you can play it that way, that if you hit a ball and you hit it somewhere really strange, you just put another ball down and you hit a second one. So they're not so strict, and it's really kind of laid back, but it's a really challenging course. There's a lot of deep fairways, and there's also lots of water hazards out here, but it ended up being something that I really kind of enjoyed.
Uh-huh. Anything else that you'd like to add about being retired?
Maybe that, you know, maybe my volunteer efforts all points back to my time with my dad. You know, my dad was the one who volunteered a lot of hours in his lifetime. He was on the co-op board, you know, and he spent a lot of time on the Grange. and the county FSA committee, and of course his real love was being on the hospital board. And I think those I kind of took after him and doing my volunteer efforts. And I would hope that other farmers, have always said this, I hope other farmers would really get involved and volunteer, even if it's just for a short period of time. We just don't have enough farmers out there telling our story about what we're doing in agriculture.
I was struck by how important it was for both Walesby and Cease that they find farmers to work their land who they could trust to do a good job. I suppose when you have that much blood, sweat, and tears invested in an operation, you want to ensure the legacy of your efforts are continued. Be sure to check out the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page to see photos of Cease and Walesby. If you have a suggestion of someone I should interview on the subject of retirement, or you just want to comment about the podcast, you can email me at syates@wagrains.org. That's S as in Scott, Yates, Y-A-T-E-S, at wagrains, with an S, .org. I hope you enjoyed episode 97 of Weed All About It, or what I entitled, What? Me Retire? Lessons on Life After Farming, about my conversation with Jim Walesby and Randy Cease. I hope you'll join me again next time for the Washington Grain Commission-sponsored podcast of Weed All About It.
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when it's not enough wheat. We feed you.